God wants you to know the future, to prepare you, not scare you. We'll talk about that this hour.
As of yesterday, the Washington Institute, thewashingtoninstitute.org, you can find it, released an article, and basically they said that 2019 is going to be a major Middle East war. And they said, far from simply replaying the 2006 Lebanon War, the next conflict on Israel's northern frontier will likely involve many more actors on multiple fronts. In other words, it's going to be from the north, but it's going to be many more factors.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. This hour, Jan meets with one of our 2018 Understanding the Times conference speakers, Amir Sarfati. You've heard Amir many times on this program. Jan caught up with him today while he was at home in Israel. Amir's the founder of Behold Israel, a teaching ministry that examines current events in light of the Israeli nation and Bible prophecy. Amir has recently released a new publication, The Last Hour, an Israeli insider looks at the end times. It is available in our online web store. We know you're going to enjoy today's conversation. To get the discussion started, here's Jan Markell.
Welcome to the program. I'm so glad you could join me for a very special hour today. My guest for the hour is going to be Amir Sarfati, and I've often said that we are in the last days. I've actually said I believe we're in the last hour, and you have heard Amir on this program many times. He has been at my annual conference 2015, 2016, 2017, joins us again on September 29th for Understanding the Times 2018. I have in front of me his new book. It is titled The Last Hour, An Israeli Insider Looks at the End Times. And we're going to talk about that for the hour. And if, in fact, it is the last hour, my question to you is going to be, are you ready? And we mean ready to meet the King. Amir is founder of the ministry known as Behold Israel. He's an Israeli tour guide. He served in the IDF. He was saved through the showing of the Jesus film in Israel many years ago and actually was asked to leave his foster family shortly after that. And in front of me, I have the book and endorsing it. I'm one of the endorsers, but Anne Graham Lotz says this timely book is a well-written, thrilling, thought-provoking, challenging, encouraging, must-read for anyone who longs for peace and hope in the last hour. The spirit within me rises up and bears witness that Amir has written truth. Read it. You know what, folks? This program is airing just days before 9/11. Amir, welcome back to the program, Understanding the Times.
Thank you, Jan. Thank you, Jan. It's always a pleasure.
Amir, let me just read here what you said in your book, and I'm just reading a paragraph, folks, so be patient with us. And you write about September 11th in the opening chapter, and you say this: September 11th was a horrible day for America and for the world. Because of my connection with the Israeli military, I learned a lot more about that day than the average American. I was told about plans that had been thwarted on the West Coast. Planes that were about to take off were grounded by the unprecedented government-ordered air traffic stoppage. The West Coast terrorists had not taken into account the different time zones, found themselves without flights. And you go on to say, Amir, I heard about cars that were stopped while carrying biological weapons, as well as the plans to take out Air Force One using rented Learjet aircraft. That day was terrible, and it could have been so much worse. Interesting, you say it could have been so much worse, but this impacted me heavily. It impacted you. And I think that it moved the proverbial nearing midnight clock even closer to midnight. Would you agree?
Yes, of course I would agree. But in the case of 9/11, and bear in mind, I was there.
Yes, you were there the day before.
I was on those towers the day before. But in the case of 9/11, I believe it was a wake-up call rather than judgment over America at the moment. Because, you know, when God judges, it's not two buildings. It's going to be way different than that. But God definitely sent a wake-up call to America. He had allowed something to happen. Unfortunately, the aftermath of 9/11 was the election of a president that could have not been worse, neither to America nor to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so thankful that at the last second of the last minute, America was able to somehow get back to its senses and get somebody into the White House that is carrying much more biblical banners than, at least now in this chapter of his life, than others who were there before him. But yes, this is it. 9/11 will be always remembered, and it was the entrance ticket of America to the real world.
That's right. Very well put. There's so much you talk about in this book, The Last Hour. And one of the things you talk about is the rush to globalism. And frankly, both you and I have a message on that, this rush to globalism. And you also talk about the rush to blend all faiths. And you suggest that Pope Francis and his love for the social justice has made this popular. And you remind readers that evangelical Christianity opened the door for this. What do you mean by that?
I mean that we're in the effort to be accepted by as many as possible. In that effort, we're actually going to embrace the traditional church that is very much infiltrated with satanic and diabolic elements, as well as we're trying to, you know, be liked by other religions for the sake of declaring that there is the same God to all of them. Mm-hmm. And you can see that effort coming from very, very prominent pastors of large churches in America who have been embraced by presidents and others and who happen to write very, very popular books and other things. So, yeah, shockingly, the evangelicals have opened the door to these things, and the traditional religious Christianity is, of course, running into those open arms, and we see right now the unprecedented ecumenical effort that is going on right now to kind of erase all borders and all differences. And the scary thing is that they don't care anymore about doctrine. They care about unity.
Right.
The doctrine is being placed elsewhere. And it's very, very sad because it contradicts everything I know in the scriptures.
Talking to Amir Sarfati for the hour, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, Jan Markell. The new book, We Carry It, it's in my store. The Last Hour, an Israeli Insider looks at the end times. Find it at olivetreeviews.org. Or give my office a call, get my print or e-newsletter. You'll find it in there. Amir will be at my conference September 29th. You know, we're 99.9% sold out, but we're live streaming it free September 29th. Other speakers include Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor Billy Crone, Pastor J.D. Farag, Eric Barger, and my radio guest today, Amir Sarfati, and no cost, no registration necessarily to live stream. And Amir, I'm moving on quickly, just in the interest of time, and I found it interesting, and you've got a number of chapters here. If we had time, we'd talk about each one, but let me just raise an interesting point, because you said you receive more questions about the Antichrist than any other topic, which I find strange and kind of unusual because the church isn't going to meet him. And I believe Satan has had someone tapped in every generation to be the Antichrist. But you say this, we do not need to know who the Antichrist is, but we do need to know what he is all about. And you go on, you talk about the lawlessness that will surround him. You also speak, just briefly here, to the absurdity of an Islamic Antichrist. Go ahead, address that. You and I are so on the same page here.
Yeah, well, you know, there's two schools of teachings that became very prominent in the evangelical Christianity over the 90s, mostly. One is that the Antichrist is a Muslim coming from Muslim countries, and Islam is taking over the world, and we have to somehow get ready for that one. No, people just tend to forget two things. One, when Daniel referred to the person who is going to be in charge of the 70th week, he is continuing the same sentence that he talked about the person who destroys Jerusalem
right.
in 70 AD. In other words, it's from the same origins, from the same place. Now, the other thing is, and people tend to forget, that the Antichrist, as well as 99.9% of Bible prophecy, is talking about Israel, and it's talking to Israel. And the Jewish people will not accept a Muslim as their deliverer, as their Messiah. Remember, he is the Antichrist for us. But for them, during the hour of trial, during the time of deception, they will look at him as Messiah. And there is absolutely no Israeli that I know, no Jew that I know, not even the most zealous pro-temple rabbis that I know right now, that will ever think that a Muslim can be someone they can trust to be their Messiah. I've seen enough European/American presidents that Israelis almost fell at their feet. And I think last year I mentioned Napoleon and how he even described himself to the Jews in France as their Messiah and minted a coin where he's giving them the Ten Commandments. And it was well accepted at the time. So we have to bring that into that context. Now, the other school of teaching was that the church might see the Antichrist because we might not be raptured until mid-tribulation. Therefore comes all the interest of knowing who he is.
Sure.
Because if we are to see him, let's at least know who. Well, that's the ridiculous thing. I mean, do you really think that we will live to see the one who is going to deceive Israel? And he's not going to deceive the believers. All the believers will not be deceived because they already see all the signs before. They know. He's going to deceive Israel. And at the time, if you know, if we can remind everybody, God will shift back his attention to Israel when the restrainer is removed and when the times of the Gentiles will come to an end. That's what Romans 11 says.
Right.
So for us, the church, we live in the times of the Gentiles. That time will come to an end. That's it. We'll be out of here. And then the shift goes back to Israel. And that's going to be the time of Jacob's trouble. It's not the time of the church trouble. It's the time of the trouble of Jacob. Israel will be under distress. Of the two major groups of people that are following God or God's witnesses, church and Israel, the church is gone. Now Israel is in trouble, and God is going to bring a deliverer to them.
I want to focus on Europe for just a moment, because that's kind of the context of what we're talking about. Church is gone, and I've dwelt with the rapture. Actually, the last two radio programs I've dealt with it had Ed Heinzen on last weekend to talk about, can we still believe in the rapture? That's the name of his new book. Amir never thought we'd ask questions like, can we still believe in the rapture? But nonetheless, that's the title of a Heinzen's book. But okay, two conferences of mine, you have made us aware of how Europe is preparing the way for the Antichrist.
Yes.
And then we'll wrap this up here. But I want to deal with this for a minute, because Europe is godless, it's secular, it loves globalism. The Europeans love the EU more than they love the nationalism, nation state. They are obsessed with the occult. They loathe Israel. And there are charismatic young leaders over there now ruling, mm-hmm. including Emmanuel Macron, the rising star of Europe, though he's failing in France. And you call Europe the modern-day Babylon. That's partly because you and I are pretty convinced, as you've already stated here, Antichrist coming out of Europe, not probably anywhere else. And then you and I refer to Peter Bruegel's 1563 painting of the Tower of Babel, and they place it next to the EU Parliament building in Strasbourg, Germany. The remarkable similarities are stunning. And you say this parallel was intentional, because Europe is preparing the way for the Antichrist.
And Europe is proud of it. And
yes.
Europe is not hiding it. You see, if the things that used to be hidden and under the ground are no longer there, now they're proud of it. Now they're printing the women riding the beast on their,
that's right.
on their money notes. I mean, they're no longer afraid of anything. But what we see now, we are watching right now in these days, weeks and months, we're watching how Europe is committing suicide, mm-hmm. and how basically, the nationalism within Europe is now becoming stronger and stronger as an opposition to the governments that are so self-destructive. and Europe in such a chaos, and Europe will be on her knees when the Antichrist is going to be basically handed to her as their deliverer. You remember when they described Macron as the new leader on Newsweek's cover, he
yes.
was walking on water.
Yes.
And he was walking on water, and the title was, is that the Europe's
savior?
So,
savior.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm saying Europe is being led by the one world government, those families. Europe is being led to such a, I would call it, desperate situation that when they will give them the Antichrist, they'll take him.
They'll take him. Amir writes in his new book, because the world will choose the Antichrist over Christ, God will send the people a strong delusion so that they become entrenched in this lie. Just look around at how rooted our culture is in unrighteousness. People seem to revel in anything that is opposite of God. The deceptions of the father of lies have tainted the worldviews of mankind, paving the way for the one who is the Antichrist in all respects. Again, this comes out of his book titled The Last Hour, an Israeli Insider Looks at the End Times. And just a quick reminder that Amir, again, is one of my speakers, Saturday, September 29th. That's Understanding the Times 2018. And folks, let me just make a quick announcement here because it is important. Some of you are finding out that you can't attend. You've got tickets and you suddenly can't attend. Perhaps you made reservations last spring. I'm asking you to please turn them back in to the Brush Fire Agency. I'm going to give you the number. Others still want tickets. We are 99% sold out, some 4,500 seats gone. Folks are turning them in. So, folks, you can still go to brushfire.com or call this number and get a ticket that's being turned in. 888-338-5338. 888-338-5338. The church is going to want you to show your ticket when you arrive on Saturday, September the 29th. We will still have CDs and DVDs available of our conference about a month later, but we encourage you to come early on the 29th. If you've got a ticket and you're planning on coming out to the church, come early. Avoid the crunch. And you folks, if you've been there the last 2 years, you know what a crunch it can be. So come early, get your parking place, and check in to the church. I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes. I'm going to continue on. We're carrying this fascinating book. And indeed, the subtitle is An Israeli Insider Looks at the End Times. And that's what makes it so intriguing. The Last Hour is it's written by Amir Sarfati, who indeed is an Israeli insider. And therefore, he has some information not available to just everyone when it comes to a lot of topics. Back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
All programs aired by Understanding the Times Radio are uploaded every Saturday morning to our website, olivetreeviews.org. For your own compact disc recording of today's conversation with Amir Sarfati, just dial our order line number 763-559-4444. We remind you often that this broadcast ministry is supported by our listeners. We need your help to keep us coming to your neighborhood. Would you consider a tax-deductible gift to this ministry? You can mail your gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can give securely online at olivetreeviews.org or phone Olive Tree Ministries at 763-559-4444. Jan and Amir return right after this.
Understanding the Times 2018 is almost sold out now. Why don't you consider getting a group together to live stream the event at your computer or perhaps put it on a big screen? There is no cost or registration involved for streaming. Our speakers include Amir Sarfati, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor Billy Crone, Pastor J.D. Farag, and Eric Barger. We will help you understand that nothing is falling apart. In fact, things are all falling together. Events that could be interpreted as chaotic and dark are really a herald of his return. Will also help you contend for the faith. Fellowship with like-minded is essential for spiritual health and to stay optimistic and looking up. Our event and live streaming is Saturday, September 29th, but you will be able to access the archived programming following that event. I promise our speakers and their topics will keep you focused on the bigger picture. God has everything under control. The King is coming right on time. He's never early, he's never late, and he wants none to be left behind.
The day will come and he will make all things new. But until then, we live in this world. He warned us, 1 Peter 4, verse 7, he says, the end of all things is at hand. So as much as he wants us to know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, don't get used to it. Because behold, the end of all things is at hand. So our eyes should not be fixed on the things of this world, because one day they'll be gone. We will be gone, and we will return, and we will be different, and then he will make everything new.
On Understanding the Times today, Jan's Fall Conference speaker, Amir Sarfati. You can find more information about Amir's ministry at beholdisrael.org. On September 29th, Amir will be joined at the Understanding the Times Fall Conference by Pastor Jack Hibbs, Eric Barger, Pastor Billy Crone, and Pastor J.D. Farag. Remember, if you don't already have a ticket for this fall's conference, you can live stream the event from our website. We'll have more on that at the end of our next segment. Once again, Jan Markell.
Isn't it a great time to be alive? Isn't it fabulous to see these sort of things? You know, in Matthew 13, Jesus said to his disciples, blessed are your eyes, what they see, your ears for what they hear, because many prophets and kings longed to see the things that you see and didn't see them, longed to hear the things you heard and hear but didn't hear them. You know, the same thing's been true for the last 2,000 years. People have been looking forward to the day that you and I live in right now, the days where the coming of the Lord is near. Daniel 12:10 says, the wise will understand, but the wicked will never understand. That's talking about what's going on in the world. We can understand Bible prophecy. We can understand where we're at in the world because the Bible has given us a framework, a roadmap as it was. Remember when the Lord Jesus came the first time and he was rejected by the people, although there were a few that got it, that understood. And on the day of Pentecost, when he was walking with two disciples on the road to Emmaus, where their eyes were held back so they wouldn't recognize him. And he eventually broke in because they were leaving the place where they'd heard the Messiah had risen from the dead. And he said, oh, fools and slow of heart, wasn't it necessary for the Christ to first suffer and then enter into his glory? And then the Bible says, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wouldn't you love to have been in that Bible study? But anyway, Jesus basically said, all the scriptures. That's one of the things we love here. I love what Jack does about Calvary Chapel. The entire Word of God. We take it all very seriously. And if you look at it, it gives us a framework of what we should expect to see in the last days. And the good news is we're seeing it right now in front of our eyes. In fact, so much so, it is literally mind-boggling.
And indeed, it is literally mind-boggling. And that's why I'm glad there are various shepherds out there who are helping us understand the times and particularly understand the lateness of the hour. And that's why Olive Tree Ministries, carrying Amir's new book, The Last Hour, and Israeli Insider, looks at the end times. And as I was paging through this here, I read it in the last couple of days, and I thought to myself, you know, where do I begin? Because every page is so important. So I asked Amir here a little while ago, I said, let's talk about the deception of the nations. Amir says this, the enemy has debilitated the Gentile nations by selling the lie that God is done with Israel. More than ever, the world is choosing to abandon Israel. Amir, you know, the church is abandoning Israel too, and actually you talked a little bit about that, but that's a 1-2 punch.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that the biggest proof of God's existence is Israel. Even when we all talk about Gog and Magog and in Ezekiel's war, because we're all oriented towards that coming war, even there in that very chapter, he says, I am going to intervene and save my people so the nations will know that I am God. God is doing whatever he's doing with Israel so the nations will know that he's God. And so to look at how he was there for Israel throughout the history and to still reject the importance of Israel in God's plan is really missing out the whole picture. And it's very interesting because if you notice, so many Christians are looking at Israel as if Israel's spiritual state is the reason why we don't think God is with Israel anymore. They just don't understand that throughout history, it wasn't the spiritual state of Israel that caused God to do good things or bad things necessarily. God has a plan. Now, God punished Israel more than once. That's true. But God has a plan, and he's got a timetable. This is what he told Daniel. I have a set timetable, and you can write it down because it's going to happen. So, you know, you can turn a blind eye or you can, you know, stick your head in the sand, but it's not going to help you. God is doing things, and Israel is in the center of what God is doing. And Israel, I always tell people, it is the insurance policy of every believer that God is out there to fulfill his promises
yes.
to each and every one of us.
You write this, Amir, you say, but Satan has convinced the nations that God has forsaken his people. Even many Jews have bought into this lie. My own grandparents have survived the horrors of Auschwitz, could not believe that there was still a God who loved the Jewish people. As a result, Israel has looked elsewhere for protection. If God is not on our side, they reason, then we need to look to America or someone else for our safety. And indeed they have. And of course, right now, they're enjoying the relative peace and safety and security, and some of that coming from America, coming from Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, as you already indicated, a far cry from the previous administration. But then you say that many Jews have even bought into the lie, the deception of the nations.
That's true. Well, yeah. You know, even there, Ezekiel the prophet in chapter 37 is giving us that description. When Ezekiel is looking at those dry bones, and God says, look, this is the entire house of Israel. They say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves have been cut off. In other words, they think that they have been cut off. That's it. It's over. God is no longer with them. And what happened is circumstance around them convinced them that that's the case. But you know, as believers, if there is one thing we have to remember is never, ever to count on circumstances and feelings, but to look at the written promises of the Word of God. And that's why when Israel was born out of the ashes of the Holocaust, suddenly everybody rushed back to scriptures. You go to David Ben-Gurion's little house in the Negev, and David Ben-Gurion was a secular Jew.
Yes, he
and
was.
And underneath his plastic cover of his desk, there are multiple little notes with Bible verses, because he understood that the only way to come to the grip of what is going on in front of his very eyes is the promises given by God to the prophets of Israel.
You write this, Amir Sarfati. You say the mission of Israel to lead people to Christ has now been given to the church. Has Israel fallen out of favor with God? Yes. Has God rejected his elect nation? Absolutely not. Has God stopped loving his chosen people? Never. The church must never stop loving the Jewish people either. How the church treats Israel is a litmus test of its temperature, readiness, and doctrine. A rejected Israel reveals a sick church. You cannot love God and hate that which God loves. Folks, I'm going to repeat that line again. You cannot love God and hate that which God loves. Personally, I feel that's penetrating the heart of someone right now. And if you hate that which God loves, you will end up loving that which God hates. Lord, protect your church from that fate. And some churches, Amir, have fallen in that particular department. I hear from people every day who their church has fallen or is hard-hearted on this topic.
Yeah, and it's very interesting because we've been obviously quoting a lot of Old Testament verses about God's promises for Israel in the end times, but I believe that even a quick look at what Jesus said in Matthew 25 about the king that returns and all the people, all the nations come, and what is it, the criteria by which the king decided whether these are sheep or goats?
Mm-hmm.
Only by the way
That's
they
right.
treated the least of his brethren. It wasn't their faith in him. It was the way, you see, James chapter 2 verse 14 talks about how faith without actions is dead, basically. You cannot say, I love the Lord and hate that which the Lord loves. And so I believe that looking at what people, how people treat Israel reflects how they look at the entire Word of God and God Himself. I think people have a twisted understanding of God when they reject Israel and hate Israel.
Yes.
I believe that in the DNA of every God-fearing and God-loving person, in the DNA, he must love Israel. By the way, I know a lot of people that they don't have a word to explain why is it that they love Israel so much. It's because it's, you know, it's a spiritual thing. Now, I have my own issues of, okay, when you love Israel, what is it that you need to do? I mean, I don't think that you should hide Christ from them. I think he is the hope of Israel, of course.
There's a whole theology out there, Amir, that hides the gospel. That's dual covenant theology.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. See, that's another deception of the enemy. Either he tells the church to hate Israel and reject Israel and replace Israel, or he tells people Israel doesn't need Christ. They need maybe your money, they need maybe your political support, but they really don't need Christ. And both are from the pit of hell. Because if there is one thing we know, is and Paul says that to the Jewish people, the leadership of the Jews in the last chapter of the book of Acts, when he summoned them to his house in Rome, and he was shackled in chains, he says, it's for the hope of Israel that I am bound in chains. The hope of Israel is Yeshua, is Jesus. That's their salvation. And eventually, unfortunately, it will only take a terrible disaster / trouble that will bring them on their knees to understand that they need that Savior. Jan, I was thinking about the greatness of God's deliverance in the last 70 years, and yet we're not a God-fearing nation. And so people tell me, okay, if Ezekiel describes an amazing deliverance, don't you think that Ezekiel belongs to the end of the tribulation, because that's when Israel will be saved? And I said, absolutely not. If God delivered Israel from diaspora and brought them back to their land and restored them physically, financially, and all of that, and they still don't follow him, it's going to be the same thing after Ezekiel. He is going to show his mighty arm. They're still not going to be there, and it will take a terrible trouble for them to eventually understand their true Messiah. Unfortunately, I'm saying that.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here talking to Amir Sarfati. I found him in Israel, which these days is not easy to do, only because he is a globetrotter, bringing the gospel, bringing the hope of his return, literally to dozens of nations. It's one of the most remarkable ministries I have seen, and I've got a number of years history spanning who's teaching what, and Amir Sarfati totally... Well, he amazes me. And he has a new book, The Last Hour, an Israeli Insider Looks at the End Times. It's in my store, olivetreeviews.org. Call my office, order it, get on the print and e-newsletter list. You'll find it in there. Amir, all right, I'm staying in this topic here because Donald Trump, President Trump, will be at the United Nations the end of September. Frank, it's just a few days before my conference, speaking at the UN. A lot of Christians are concerned what he's going to talk about when he sort of gives a word to Israel, to the Middle East. Here's what you wrote me. You wrote this in an email about this meeting. You say, every September, we are bracing for another UN storm. However, let's remember that Hamas already rejected the Trump deal and Abbas isn't really responding to anything coming from the U.S. Folks, this is about Donald Trump's so-called deal of the century. Amir goes on writing me. He says, as always, they don't miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. I believe that the only bad thing for Israel in this coming deal is the mere mentioning of a Palestinian state. All the actual details are 1,000% better than any proposal we had before. As always, this won't happen, and Israel and the moderate Sunni world will continue to grow closer in light of the Iranian-Turkish-Russian alliance. It's in America's interest I'm going to say that again, folks. It's in America's interest to keep Israel strong and keep Saudi Arabia happy and on her side. I think you've just comforted a lot of people, Amir.
Well, I'm also realistic. I mean, it's not like a wishful thinking. I think that if you look at the actions of this administration, it's louder than any word. I mean, I've never seen an administration that within less than 2 years had basically set some facts on the ground that have been fought over and deliberated over and was you know, such a big issue for nearly, you know, 50 years now. I mean, the whole Jerusalem issue, at the same speech in Virginia that President Trump said that Israel might have to pay a higher price
right.
in this peace deal, at the same very speech, three sentences earlier, he was boasting in moving the embassy to Jerusalem and by doing that, removing the Jerusalem issue from the table of negotiations once and for all. I mean, I cannot even imagine, I cannot believe I'm saying that, but a U.S. president is telling the Palestinians there is nothing and there is no more time to waste on talking about Jerusalem. It's a done deal. Mm-hmm. It's Israel's. Now let's move forward. How can I please you with other things, basically? And the other major issue that Israel had is the fake inflated number of Palestinian refugees that was created by the UN and encouraged by the UN, because the UN, you know, has double standard. I mean, for the world's refugees, there is one commissioner, and then just for the Palestinians, they created another body called UNRWA, the United Nations Work and Relief Association. And we have to remember that this UNRWA thing is, instead of solving the Palestinian problem, it's actually causing it to continue and last forever, because they don't have even the stamina or the incentive to open a new chapter in their life. I mean, somebody is paying for their food, is paid for school, is paid for, why should we ever go to work? It reminds me of how I've been to Croatia just during the summer, and the Croatians told me that during the time of the Yugoslavian country, when it was under communist rule, they have no bad words to say about communism because they didn't have to work, and yet they got it all given to them for free. So that's what we have now. We have created a monster, and President Trump just said that he's about to abolish UNRWA and no longer attend to the whole aspect of the right of return of Palestinian refugees. That's it. It's over.
Yeah, it is.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
These things are amazing.
Amir, I get up every day and see something and I say, that's amazing. So we are in such interesting times. Here's where I want to go. You've got an entire chapter titled What's Next? And you say in this chapter, looking for dates, you know, we're always going to be disappointed if we look for dates. And what we can know, on the other hand, is the order of things to come. And one of our most popular selling books, this is some time ago, 2-3 years ago, was Ron Rhodes talking about the exact order of things to come in the last days. And it was one of our biggest sellers, everything we've ever had. So I was particularly drawn to this chapter on what's next, and I want to talk about that in my closing segment here about what's next. Again, folks, Amir's one of my speakers Saturday, September 29th, and that's along with Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor Billy Crone, Pastor J.D. Farag, Eric Barger, and again, Amir Sarfati. Amir will have this book at the conference, The Last Hour, an Israeli Insider Looks at the End Times. So have it at his table there at the conference. Coming out and meet some of these folks, and if you'd like to live stream it free, we're offering it, olivetreeviews.org, no registration, no cost. Get a group together and think about just putting it up on a big screen and showing it maybe to a home fellowship, your Sunday school class, whatever. All day starts at 8:30 a.m. That's Central Time, so the live streaming is all Central Time, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. I'm coming back. We're going to wrap up my conversation with Amir Sarfati. Again, check out the book in my store, olivetreeviews.org. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
When people attend the Understanding the Times conferences, they always leave encouraged and informed.
And I am fascinated with end time prophecy, coming of Christ, the blessed hope. That's why I'm here. affirming everything that we have to go through in this world. Someday, it's all going to be worth it, and I'm excited.
You get to understand what's happening in the world. It's a blessing for everybody. Everybody's in tune and waiting for Jesus Christ, and they are on the platform telling us exactly what's coming down in this world.
At our church, we're focused on evangelizing. We don't hear too much about prophecy and stuff. So this is an extra blessing for us being, to hear all this stuff. It's just a great time, you know. It really is. It's uplifting spiritually, and we're going to go home excited.
But there's just something about being here in person and just being with other like-minded people.
The speakers have been fantastic. It is so relevant for now. It gets me just so excited about what's happening. And, you know, we're just not hearing that kind of truth in the churches. And we're seeing a lot of churches tickling ears and not speaking truth.
The September conference is completely sold out, but you can still be a part of this great event via live streaming. It's free and can be viewed on our website at olivetreeviews.org. Join us on our website, olivetreeviews.org, Saturday, September 29th, starting at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, and don't miss a single moment of this great event.
Perhaps you can't wait to hear Amir Sarfati in person this fall at our next Understanding the Times conference scheduled for Eden Prairie, Minnesota's Grace Church. As you may already know, the conference date is set for September 29th. This year, you can live stream our event free of charge right from our website at olivetreeviews.org. We suggest that you get a group of people from your church or small group and watch the conference together. Remember, the live streaming is complimentary, no cost to you. Again, it'll be streamed from our website at olivetreeviews.org. As we move into the fall months, to help us continue to come into your listening area every week, will you consider a tax-deductible donation? You can mail your gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Or call us at 763-559-4444.
I am so pleased that this ministry is carrying the new book titled Can We Still Believe in the Rapture? The co-authors are Dr. Ed Heinsohn and Dr. Mark Hitchcock. I did not think I would ever have to ask such a question, but today, many churches marginalize this message. Many scoff and mock about the glorious good news that the King is coming again, and perhaps today. Check it out in our web store at olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Monday through Friday and order it by phone, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444 Central Time. Will be in our print and e-newsletter. Sign up online. Look for Can We Still Believe in the Rapture? We want you to rejoice in the hope of His return, and this new publication will help you do just that. Things are all falling into place. We want you to look up and know that His return is right at the door.
When we're wondering, what is it? What is it that God is interested in telling us? He wants to really teach us to wake up and observe what is really going on and call us to get ready.
The Last Hour, an Israeli insider, looks at the end times. That's the subject of today's Understanding the Times broadcast. It's also the title of Amir Sarfati's latest publication, which can be found in our online web store at olivetreeviews.org. For the conclusion of today's conversation with Amir Sarfati, once again, Jan Markell.
Well, I believe that if you examine the Bible, even a group of educated teenagers, and ask them, what does this prophet really say? That the vast majority of them would agree that the prophets really do describe specific things. For example, the Bible clearly says that the nation Israel would be reborn. It clearly describes that there would be a revival of the Roman Empire, invoking 10 nations in the last days. One of the most amazing, Sid, is the prophet Zephaniah, 25 centuries ago, predicted that God would restore unto the Jews a pure language, Hebrew. Now, no ancient nation ever lost its language and ever recovered it. Yet in our generation, a man by the name of Eleazar ben Yehuda in Israel literally took this dead language of 7,000 words and started creating new words for airplane and fountain pen and machine gun. Today, millions of Jews in Israel speak Hebrew, the language of the Bible.
And that was the late Grant Jeffrey making an astute observation there. Quick comment here, and then we're going to wrap up the dialogue with Amir Sarfati, and that is this program is always posted to my website Saturday morning. You folks are running around like crazy, and I know you need to perhaps just listen leisurely, olivetreeviews.org, or sign up for the mobile app at oneplace.com, where we also air and podcast. The program will be downloaded each week right to your device. You can get a CD of any program. Look into becoming a CD subscriber. And if you do send in a gift and you're listening to radio, would you always tell us what station you listen to? That helps us in our bookkeeping and accounting so much. I'm wrapping up a conversation with someone I have grown to admire so much, Amir Sarfati. He's been at a number of my conferences, 15, 16, 2017, again this fall, September the 29th. And I kind of teased as I left the last segment that he's got a chapter in his new book, The Last Hour, An Israeli Insider Looks at the End Times, and it's titled, What is Next? I want to talk to him just for a few minutes about what he thinks is next. And again, he's instructing you folks, don't look for dates. Look for sort of the order of things to come. And we just have to read the Bible and accept it as God's word of authority. Amir, you say Ezekiel 36 and 37 have come to pass. The rebirth of the dry bones, the miracle of all time, not just the miracle of the 21st century, but of all time. Talk to me a little bit about what you think is coming next.
Well, you know, it's not a secret that I believe, contrary to a lot of people who think that it's quite dangerous in Israel right now and it's a not a safe place. I tell people we've never had it safer and we've never had it better and we've never had it more prosperous than we do now. I mean, Israel is in its best shape ever, at least of the last 70 years, of course, of our existence as a sovereign country. And I do see today, the days that we see right now are as the calm before the storm. And it's very interesting because Ezekiel 38 describes how Gog will come as a dark cloud, as a storm into the land. In other words, it was calm, it was prosperous, and then the storm approached as a dark cloud. So I always call people that are, you know, into prophecy and into understanding the times and the seasons. I call them watchmen because our position is higher. Knowing the scriptures, we understand what's coming. And I think that as watchmen, we see the storm coming already. It's not there yet, but we are our own meteorological station, knowing the approaching storm, knowing the strength of the storm, knowing also the aftermath of the storm. And I believe that we are definitely watching the formation of the countries that Ezekiel mentioned as those that will come to attack Israel. Israel is going to be in the center of a major world conflict, and Israel will be saved once again by God and not by other countries. And it's the time that God is shifting his attention back to Israel, not anymore necessarily physically, because he already brought us back to the land, but now it will become more of the spiritual thing. And I think that we as believers must understand that there is going to be a war, but there's also going to be a fake peace that will continue right after. And our job is, A, to see the storm and alert people that the storm is coming. B, we have to use the time that is left for us here to spread the gospel. The Bible says, until he comes, we need to do his business, the Father's business. I mean, we must understand this is a very essential part of why we are still here. And the most important thing is not to expect peace that the world can give, but it's the peace that the world cannot give, nor can even the world understand. We have to understand that the coming weeks, months, and who knows, years, I hope not, are going to be very challenging also to the believers because of the amount of deception and spiritual attacks. But I want to comfort people with the words of Isaiah the prophet in chapter 40 that says that those who trust in the Lord or wait upon the Lord, because we're waiting right now. We're on a waiting mode. Those who wait upon the Lord, they are going to renew their strength. And it's very interesting because the Hebrew word to renew, it's actually to exchange. It's the strength. Our strength is not going to play any role here. We need to give Jesus our burden and take his yoke that is easy. That exchange is the only way we can go through the coming period that is a very, very challenging one. So those who trust in the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord, must exchange their strength with his strength, and their peace with his peace, their joy with his joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, not the world. It's the peace of the Lord that surpasses all understanding, not of the world. And it is the strength that can come from the Lord that can sustain us throughout this coming time, and not our own strength.
But let me make reference to something you made me aware of. Others have made me aware of it as well, and I don't have the periodical in front of me, but is it the Washington Report, perhaps, where it talks about Israel's coming, a terrible war they're predicting in 2019. Yeah. What is the website for that, Amir?
The Washington Institute is actually an institute that is looking at the American policy in the Middle East. It's actually washingtoninstitute.org.
Thank you.
In the recent times, there were some interesting analysis there. By the way, written by Israeli military experts. It's called The Great War of 2019.
Yes.
And I referred to that conflict because they say it's not going to be what we had before with Lebanon and Hezbollah. This one will be completely different. This one is going to be actually a conflict that will involve many new elements and factors. And that's what caught my attention. What caught my attention is that everybody understands that there are new players in the neighborhood, and they're not necessarily mm-hmm. Lebanon, Syria, mm-hmm. Egypt, Jordan, or any other thing. It's actually the new kids in the block,
mm-hmm.
and that's Russia, and that's Iran, and that's Turkey. These are the new kids in the block coming from the north, the northern part of Israel. That's why I tell people don't put too much attention on what's going on with the Gaza and the shenanigans sure. there. This is just, it's just a smokescreen.
Yeah.
The real happenings are on the northern front. That's why Netanyahu doesn't want to mobilize thousands of soldiers into Gaza. There's no point. When your eyes are fixed on Damascus, when your eyes are fixed on the border there, and when Russian lawmakers suggest that Russia should actually position tactical nuclear weapon in Syria as a response to the American sanctions on Russia, that concerns us much more than a few kites and balloons in from Gaza.
But kites and balloons have done some damage. They have.
They've done damage, yeah. But they took life of no one,
yeah.
And they created some sort of despair and helplessness. I mean, it's kind of a strong country cannot fight a couple of balloons. It makes you angry because you know you could smack them. You know you could destroy them. You know that it's a matter of 20 minutes and Gaza wouldn't even
yeah.
be there. But
yeah.
you know you can't do it.
Yeah.
You know you can't do it. So it's more of a helplessness and frustration rather than anything else. But what we see on the northern front, it's not frustration or helplessness. Yeah. It's our existence
yes.
that's going to be on. And for that, we cannot rely on, even not on America. For that, and the Lord knows, by the way, there is no power in the world that can help Israel to withstand the strength and the magnitude of the attack that is about to come on Israel. There is no power but the Lord. And this is where he steps in and says, guys, No one is going to stand for you. I am going to do it. And not only that, I'm going to do it in a supernatural way.
Supernatural. Folks, come on out and learn a lot more on Saturday, September the 29th. Again, most tickets are sold now, but you can live stream it at no cost. And if you have to, I'm going to say it again, it's so important. If you have to turn in a ticket, call the Brush Fire Agency, 888-338-5338, because many would like to take the ticket that you want to turn in. You're just not going to use it. So 888-338-5338. CDs and DVDs available about a month later. If you haven't purchased a lunch ticket yet, again, contact Brushfire about that. 888-338-5338. And the book we've talked about for the hour, The Last Hour, an Israeli Insider, looks at the end times by Amir Sarfati, my guest for the hour. It's in my store, olivetreeviews.org. Call us if you'd like to do that. Find it in our print and e-newsletter. I'm out of time. Let me go out of the program. We have talked about how late it is during this hour. It's perhaps the last hour. And if it is that late, are you ready? Ready to meet the King? Becoming ready is so very easy. You just call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Tomorrow may be too late. Make him the Lord and Savior of your life while there is still time. He will make all things new in your life, but you need to act and do it today. Don't put it off. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every weekend, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it costs us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekly media outreach, would you consider standing with us? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. They need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour, pointing out the dangers in today's culture and bringing hope through faith in Jesus Christ. We're asking you to join us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Contributions are also welcome at olivetreeviews.org or by phone when you dial 763-559-4444. Don't forget, global updates with a biblical worldview are yours around the clock at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon. We appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her media team. Jan Markell returns next week with another information and inspiration-packed hour, designed to help you understand the times.